Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 305, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of Jets and Aaron Rodgers and their new head coach, Aaron Glenn, and what's best for them. So let's talk real quick about the Giants quarterback situation, because the dream lives! Is it possible? Is it possible that I wasted all my time yelling about the Indianapolis Colts victory? I suppose it's possible. A lot of people will be fun to yell at me for that one. I can think of a couple who'll have a good time at my expense if that win against the Indianapolis Colts ends up meaning nothing. But we will see, because there's been a couple of things here, and one predominantly in the NFL. I just lost the story with the guy's name in it. Hold on. There we go. If you haven't heard, obviously Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans, who have the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft, and it's widely speculated that they will be taking a quarterback. You know why it's widely speculated? Because they don't have a quarterback. And when you have the top pick in a draft, you typically will take a quarterback if you don't have one. That's what I would do if I were running a team. But they recently hired a new general manager, Mike Borgonzi, from the Kansas City Chiefs, and they currently are getting ready to decide what to do with the first pick. And Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker, said something very interesting while talking about the first pick. And while he said, yes, it will be up to the general manager to make this decision, we won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. And I guess that's the only thing that would stop you from drafting a quarterback. If you believe there is a generational talent, if you believe there is a player so great that his impact on the organization would be so immense, and that his talent is so undeniable, that you need to bring him, you cannot afford to pass on him, he needs to be part of your team. There is no way, as much as I will tell you that I believe that I'm willing to take a chance on one of these quarterbacks, and we'll see, there is no way he is referring to one of the quarterbacks when he's talking about a generational talent. He is talking about Travis Hunter. That's who he's talking about. He is talking about the two-way shut down corner, dynamic wide receiver that is Travis Hunter out of Colorado. That's who he's talking about. Now, we'll see if that's what ends up happening, because I think you can make a case, and I believe in it very strongly, that in today's NFL, you need a quarterback more than you need a generational talent out of position. That's how I feel. Now, maybe they don't believe in one of these quarterbacks. That's a different conversation than just straight up generational talent. If one of these, like, and I understand at the time, Jaden Daniels, it was a higher touted prospect. Certainly so was Caleb Williams. So was May, for that matter. The three of them are clearly above anything, and almost everyone has graded them, the three of them, higher than any quarterback in this draft. Fine. But I don't know if you would call them a generational talent. And whatever generational talent you thought, I think you'd be foolish to pass on Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams. And even he's didn't play particularly well. We're going to find out now that Ben Johnson's taken the job there in Chicago what he's capable of. But if you have a quarterback of that level, I don't care about generational talents. I need the quarterback. But if the Tennessee Titans, who have had an interesting recent history when it comes to GMs, the firing of Vrabel, the trading of A.J. Brown, the impetuous nature of the owner, a lot of the different things that have happened with Tennessee. If they want to pass on the quarterback to take a generational talent and leaving it to for the New York Giants to not have to move up and just take either Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward at 3, that is my absolute dream. That, to me, is the best case scenario the Giants can find themselves in. Now, who knows what happens? We don't know what Cleveland wants to do. And what's great about the Titans conversation is even more so than I'm not drafting a quarterback, that statement saying I'm not messing around, the old Dave Gettleman line. You don't mess around when you have a generational talent. They're not trading the pick. If they believe there's a generational talent, and many people feel Travis Hunter is such, they're not going to mess around and say, hey, we don't like one of these quarterbacks. Let's trade back and see what we can get. Because who knows? Unless they're going to trade, you know, with Cleveland, and Cleveland is doing it to get the quarterback they want, like, they can't guarantee themselves the generational talent. So what we're saying here is not only will they not take the quarterback necessarily if there's a generational talent, but they won't trade the pick. So you would think the Giants would be in the clear for someone else jumping them and taking that pick, even if Tennessee doesn't like the quarterback. That's the best case scenario. That statement from Tennessee, in my mind, someone who is desperate to get a young quarterback for this New York Giant team, to draft one of these two quarterbacks. Because whatever you believe, I'm sorry, anyone who calls me right now, you can tell me till you're blue in the face that you don't like Sanders and you don't like Cam Ward and they're not as good as last year's draft class and they won't be as good as next year's draft class. You don't know. And the Giants need a quarterback. And these two guys have been highly touted for a long time. Maybe not as highly touted as some others, but these are the cream of the crop, the two best quarterbacks with first-round grades who deserve to be drafted in the first round. And the Giants desperately need that young quarterback, and Brian Daboll desperately needs to be able to be given an opportunity to develop said young quarterback. So the best-case scenario is that the Tennessee Titans not only don't like a quarterback, because that wouldn't even be enough, because theoretically the Raiders or another team that desperately needs a quarterback could end up moving up to number one and taking a quarterback. But the best case scenario is the Tennessee Titans believing there is a can't-miss generational-type talent who is so good and so far and away the best player in the draft that they would be foolish to not take him. That's the best case scenario for the New York Giants. And I hope that statement is what I think it is. And I hope they feel that Travis Hunter is a generational talent. And I hope they think they can draft the next dual player in the NFL, which would be the first. Because as great as he is, he's a shutdown corner in my estimation with, you know, maybe a couple of packages where he comes in and plays wide receiver. And as great as that player could be, that is not nearly as important and nearly as impactful as a quarterback, plain and simple. So to me, whatever you think, right, you could make the argument, and I know many have, that once they were out of the top two picks and those two quarterbacks are going 1 and 2, it is not worth it for this particular crop of quarterbacks to move up and use maybe possible first draft pick of next year or draft equity to move up and take the quarterback. Not worth it. But if it falls to them, because if Tennessee takes Hunter, one of them is guaranteed to fall to them. I don't see how you don't take him. I prefer Cam Ward. I would take him or Sanders. And I think that news that we got out of Tennessee today is by far the best thing I could have possibly heard. Because we know he's not, I'll be fair, we all know the generational talent is not one of the two quarterbacks. We all know that. I understand that. I own that. This is not the greatest crop of quarterbacks we've ever seen. We've seen highly touted quarterbacks be unbelievable. We've, or terrible. We've seen lesser touted quarterbacks. Tom Brady, we all know, oh, but you can get him later. Okay, whatever the case may be. These are the best of this year, and there is a really good chance that one of those two quarterbacks can become a franchise leader. Maybe not Jaden Daniels and take you from the where the Giants are to the NFC Championship game. Maybe not the next great player in the NFL. Maybe not the next Josh Allen or the next Patrick Mahomes or the next Lamar Jackson or the next Tom Brady or the next whatever. But maybe they're the next Eli Manning. Maybe they're the next franchise quarterback that you can build around. Maybe they're the next guy who performs in the big game. Maybe they're the next guy that works for the New York Giants. And that is so much more valuable than anything else they can do right now. And they just decided to keep a head coach who does this one thing. So to me, I understand all the naysayers who say, Chris, that's it. You're out at three. You either trade back or you take Hunter if the two quarterbacks go, blah, 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 fine. I am not moving up to take one of these quarterbacks. Fine. Fine, fine, fine. I would. You won't. Fine. You certainly have a very valid argument. But how do you pass up on one of these two quarterbacks if the Tennessee Titans go Hunter at one? How do you pass that up? For Abdul Carter? When you could argue pass rush is one of the strengths of the Giants team, not that you can never have too many. Don't get me wrong. The NFL is based on three things, in my estimation. This current NFL is based on three things. Quarterback play, protecting the quarterback, getting after the quarterback. Those are the three things that are the most important three things in the NFL. Quarterback play, protecting the quarterback, getting after the quarterback. That's it. The quarterback is such the point of focus that protecting him and impacting the other team's quarterback are the two most important. After you find your quarterback, you have to find a way to protect him, and you got to find a way to get after the other quarterback. That's the NFL, in my estimation. So sure, Abdul Carter, I'd prefer, if you thought Abdul Carter even gave you a close, as shutdown corners can be super important too, I don't know. I'm not buying into the idea he's going to be a dual player. So if I believe that Abdul Carter is a premier, world-class, generational-type pass rusher, I'd probably rather have that than the defensive back. I probably would. Even if that's a shutdown corner. I probably would. And even if he can give me some gadget plays on offense, I probably would. I'd probably rather take Abdul Carter with the third pick if I believe him to be that kind of generational talent. And maybe that's who they're talking about. I doubt it. They're talking about Hunter. But I've seen now Mel Kiper put out a mock draft where Cleveland doesn't take a quarterback. I think Tankathon, which I tweeted out before, put out a new draft, mock draft, where they have Cleveland taking Abdul Carter. So that's two different places. And Mel Kiper, I mean, you know, neither of these are guarantees. They're mock drafts. But Mel Kiper, in his first draft, has Shador Sanders falling to the New York Giants, and Tankathon just put out Cam Ward falling to the New York Giants, and that's with both of them thinking Cleveland won't take a quarterback. So now you're talking about a report from, or thoughts from two different places, and certainly Mel Kiper's in the know on some level. He's not infallible, and I know what I'm talking about. Mock drafts in January. I'm well aware of what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying, we are hearing things. We don't know the situation in Cleveland. We just don't know. We don't know how they view their quarterback room. We don't know how they view Hunter or Carter. We don't know. But we are seeing a viable source in Mel Kiper, who's been doing the draft forever, been wrong a million times, been right a million times. But Mel Kiper's legitimate draft source, and he's hearing there's a good chance that Cleveland won't take a quarterback. And the president of football operations of the Tennessee Titans just told you they will not pass on a generational talent. Those are two good things for the New York Giants. Two very good things. Because it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. All that matters is what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll think. That's it. And that's a scary proposition for many of you. I get that. And many of you think it shouldn't matter what they think, that it should be the same. My opinion should be the same as their opinion because they should be on the outside looking in. They're not. And they're the ones making this decision. And if you're the type, and I know Lori is, I listen to her every Sunday night. She does an incredible job. Lori is of the belief, and I think many people are, that these quarterbacks, whatever you think of them, and particularly with a sort of, if not obvious, lame duck GM and head coach, the last thing you want to do is trade draft equity for what they believe. Because if they fail or things go bad next year, you don't want to stick the next regime with a quarterback that they might think at all the same way that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane think. I disagree. I think if you're going to keep them, you're keeping them because you care what they think. And you still believe in what they think. And if you kept them despite not believing or caring in what they think, then you made a huge mistake not firing them. But they're here. So I can only assume that John Mara believes in what they think and cares about what they think and is willing to let them do what they think. And they have scouted both of these quarterbacks endlessly. They went to Colorado about 150 times. Deion Sanders was on record in a podcast saying if the Giants have the number one pick, Shedeur Sanders is not getting to number two. Joe Shane was at the Pop-Tart Bowl watching Cam Ward, and I know the story of that game became he quit on his team in the second half. Did you watch the first half? Because the guy was pinpoint accurate. Pinpoint. It was an absolute display of accuracy. Now, Sanders did not play well at all. I think he got banged up a little bit, but he didn't play well at all in his bowl game. Cam Ward was great for the first half. And to me, if I'm hiring these guys, it's what they believe in. And if they don't believe in the quarterback, I'd be surprised. But then take what's available to you or trade back and take a quarterback in the end of the round. But to me, the best thing for the New York Giants is to draft the quarterback. And Mel Kiper is telling you, and a couple of different places are telling you, they're not sure how Cleveland's going to treat it. And the Tennessee Titans, with the number one pick, just came out and said, we will not pass on a generational talent, and we know he ain't talking quarterback. It's a beautiful day for the New York Giants. That's as good as it gets. And am I stretching? You bet your ass. Like Stretch Armstrong, I'm stretching. That's how miserable I am with the New York Giants. But if they can get a quarterback at three, let's go. 888-808-1019. We'll come back after a quick break, and I'll tell you what quarterback, or what the quarterback room should look like, even if they get a quarterback at three, because I'm not sure that quarterback should play week one.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's actually apropos because we're trying to figure out how to get around congestion pricing. I don't know if we should admit this, but we're just in there trying to figure out how to get Marco around congestion pricing because I don't know if we talked about this. And I know, Fleegs, when you gave the information about how Rosenberg tried to get around, did the morning show ever do it?
Not when I was there. No, I don't think they did.
All right, so with the congestion pricing, let's just talk about this for a second, okay?
Marco's going to do the update at the network, and when he comes back, I'm supposed to have an answer for him.
Okay, so we're trying to figure out how to do something, because our hours here, and first of all, the congestion pricing, we all... Is it working? Like, here's the thing. Like, I understand what they're trying to do. I think it's ridiculous. And I think it's unbelievable to ask people the amount of money that we pay for gas and tolls already to add to the pricing to come into the city is absurd. Now, if you were well off enough to not care and the idea you need to get somewhere and I'll pay the $9 and limit the traffic, apparently it has limited the congestion in the city. So and I used to say this a lot about the extra innings rule in baseball. As much as you don't like it, it's accomplishing what it's trying to do. And maybe this, at least, at the very least, is accomplishing what it's trying to do. I still hate it and despise it, right? And I think most of us do. And I understand. I think the governor of New Jersey just made a plea to Donald Trump to end it. And maybe President Trump will. I don't know. But I don't love it. I think it's ridiculous. It cost me an extra couple of bucks as opposed to $9 because of the hours I commute in. So we are in a very interesting time to come in. And the rules of it, we're trying to navigate how best to help your pocket. So it's funny because Paul Rosenberg, the great producer, night producer here, extraordinaire
of Teeth, WFAN.
The glue of WFAN. Some of you in my day with the Carton and Roberts show, he was Vincent Von Vincent. If you remember such a thing, if you listen to me because you were a fan of my time there, you might remember Vincent Von Vincent. So he works until midnight. And the peak hours of congestion parking, congestion pricing are 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's the peak hours you get hit with the full $9 if you enter New York City south of 60th Street and coming off either the FDR or the West Side Highway, which are free until you enter the city. So at any point you enter the congestion area from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., it is a $9 charge. For the hours after, from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., it's $2.33, I believe. So for me, it's easy. I enter the city after 9 p.m. almost exclusively. Maybe if there's a Knick playoff game and I'm going to be right on after, or a Yankee game or something, I'll probably enter before that time. But for the most part, my hours, I'm in, I'm out, all in the hours of post, off the thing. So I don't have to worry about it. But for some of us, like Paul Rosenberg, who has to be here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he gets the hit of the full $9. But here's the part where you can maybe have a little fun and try and get the system. Because he leaves at midnight. And apparently, you will only get hit once per day via the congestion pricing. So if you could find a way to, on your way home, if you work the Paul hours, midnight or when, same thing with Marco. Marco comes in earlier in the day before 9 p.m. and he leaves now at 3:30, 4, 5, 4:30, whatever it is. So if he could find a way to exit 60th or exit the congestion area and turn back around and re-enter the congestion area before heading back home, in the middle of the morning of the next day, so today is now Thursday, he entered Wednesday. If he enters on Thursday at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's his one hit for the day, and it's at the lesser off-peak hour price. And so when he comes back to work later today at 8 o'clock or whenever Marco comes in, Paul Rosenberg, 4 o'clock, when you come in, you've already been hit at 3 o'clock when you left, and you can avoid the high pricing of the time at night at midday, the $9 charge. So that's for some of the people who come in, if you can find a way on your way home to add a little bit of time and maybe a little bit of inconvenience to leave and then come back and get hit at the early hours, then you're only hit for the once, and you don't have to worry about when you come in the next day in the main pricing time. And this is a great idea from Paul Rosenberg, who takes one of the free bridges. Now, obviously, if you take the tunnel or you take one of these, tolled, you're not going to leave the Lincoln Tunnel and come back in the Lincoln Tunnel and get banged for another $13 to $18, whatever it is at this time in the morning. But if you could find a way on the West Side Highway, which is free, or if you could find a way through one of the free bridges, the Williamsburg, the Brooklyn, the Queensboro, and then come back in, you've been hit for your day, and the $9 won't apply when you come back in for work the next day. So we're trying to find a way for Marco to leave here, come back in during the off-peak hours, then go home and not have to worry about getting hit for the main charge when he comes back in later today at 8 p.m. to start his shift. So I'm hoping that's fine. I mean, I don't see why that's illegal. So
it's definitely not illegal to just drive a couple minutes out of your way and come back.
No, it can't be. It's an interesting way to try and get around the system. And it's got to be for a unique number of people who work the hours of coming in the peak hours and leave in off peak. Because you'd have to leave here before 5 a.m. You'd have to enter before 9 p.m. and have to exit and be able to come back in before 5 a.m. So I'm sure it's a very limited amount of people who have such hours, but there are a few here who have such hours. So that's what we were doing on the other side. We'll see if Marco can figure out. Let us know if you can come up with a reasonable way for Marco to come up with it.
I think I found like an estimate of about how long it takes him. What number do you think? What number of commute time would you add? And what do you think Marco would be okay with?
To save approximately $6.67.
Almost $7 a day.
Almost $7 a day this would save you.
And it would only be maybe 4 days because the first day you have to come
in. Right, the first day you have to come in. I mean, I guess I would be willing to go an extra, like a total commute or just out of the way to come back, like total.
Well, what it adds to the total ride home?
15 minutes.
That's the exact number that I found. And that's also, I don't know if this is the closest exit he could take. This was me going one up that I'm sure if somebody knows the West Side Highway, best northbound exit after 60th Street that allows you to then get hit by the congestion pricing at 4:15, 4:20 a.m., let us know. But the most conservative, or maybe not most conservative, the estimate I found, and it might be even better than that, is 15 minutes.
It's not the craziest thing in the world to save $7 a night.
At this time of night, I don't remember the exits, but I've been on the West Side Highway at that part. Like, you're not dealing with the lights anymore. You just got to get to the next exit and turn around and then get back to the, he takes the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yep.
Might be worth it.
Might be worth it. It's an interesting thought that Paul Rosenberg, Vincent Von Vincent, put us on ahead, and now we're trying to help Marco. 888-808-1019 might be worth it. This is what I do. I help New York. I help New Yorkers. And that's not avoiding it. That's just being smart. You're getting hit one way or the other. I'm not giving you some sort of pathway that saves you from hitting the toll. You're going to have to hit the toll.
We're not avoiding congestion
pricing. Paying
it at a different time.
Paying it at a different time, different rate.
Listen, Marco works mostly night and overnight hours.
Yeah.
Anybody who works these hours for the majority of your shift, it should count for off-peak.
I agree.
I mean, it shouldn't be happening at all, but if it's going to happen, give them the benefit of off-peak.
I agree. It should be like because they have them, even when you exit, it should be like a parking lot. It should tag you when you come in, tag you when you come out, and if
don't give them ideas.
And 90% of the time is an off-peak, you should get mostly off-peak. I agree with you. Something like that. But
listen, I've worked enough shifts where I come in here 7, 8 o'clock down where we are.
Yeah.
The city is dead at those hours.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's December near Christmas.
There is no congestion.
I don't care if it's the summer. Yeah. There is no congestion down here.
We're not, this is not, it's not benefiting anyone to drive in. It's not hurting or hindering anyone's congestion or traffic or hurting the environment coming into the city at this time of night. So. But if you could figure it out, it's 15 minutes to ensure yourself the off-peak hours of the congestion pricing. Makes sense. I know people now who are coming in a little bit early to make sure they're in before 5 a.m. That makes sense. So again, this isn't to avoid it. This is to, get it at a lesser price. 888-808-1019. I'm going to get to the call, but I want to talk about some of the different scenarios for the Giants. How about this? I just got Brooklyn Johnny. How about this scenario? Titans trade picks with the Giants to get Hunter and other things, and Giants get Ward. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how much they love Ward and how good Shane is at getting an idea of what's going to happen. Because if Cleveland's going to take the quarterback and word is Deion Sanders wants no part of Shador playing in Cleveland, and you figure, well, that means that Cleveland will take Cam Ward and Ward is the only quarterback the Giants want, then I'm open to that. If the Giants are Cam Ward or bust, nobody but Ward, and the Titans are willing to do that, and they get the idea that Cleveland's taking a quarterback, and they know if they trade with the Giants, they'll take a quarterback, so they'd be able to get draft equity and other picks and still take Hunter, then I'm sure they'd be willing to do that. But to me, it depends on how you grade the quarterbacks, because if you have them equally, if you don't have one much more highly graded than the other, and you view them as the same ability and you think you can coach both of them, then I would, right now, I'm just sitting pat and daring Tennessee not to take the generational player, knowing I'm the only guy who guarantees them that. They can't trade out and get Hunter unless they're trading with me. That's it. Or I guess Cleveland. But then they're taking Hunter in front of the Giants anyway, and I'm not concerned about it. So like, there's only one place you can trade and still get Hunter. The New York Giants or someone in front of the Giants, namely Cleveland, and I'm not worried about it. Because if they trade behind the Giants, the person comes up, takes a quarterback, and Cleveland takes the quarterback, Giants are taking Hunter. Or if Cleveland takes Hunter, he's gone. So, like, there's only one way to guarantee Hunter for the Tennessee Titans. Take the pick or trade with the Giants. So I'm open to that, definitely. Let's go to Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's a nice brisk 8 degrees out here. It's
very
awesome.
Cold.
Look, just before I get to Aaron Glenn, real quick, I was just saying to Michael, you know, that thing you were just saying with the congestion idea, you know, that's also a great way to get back like a close to a tank of gas a week. Depending what you drive.
Well, I agree. That's why we're talking about how much is valuable, because then you're talking about adding gas to the car. If you have a lease, for example, like I am on a lease right now, you're talking about adding miles to your car.
Yep,
there is definitely some sort of heavy math you're going to have to do to come up with whether or not it's saving you money. It's not something that's a clear cut. Oh yeah, easy peasy. Like, you know, it is a somewhat difficult thing.
Yeah,
but,
and like you said, it is a select group of people working those kinds of hours,
right?
You know, and stuff like that. But yeah, no, I get the idea of why you want to, you know, try to figure it out.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, okay, so the Jets got Aaron Glenn as a head coach. I don't know whether to be excited or not, quite honestly. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, personally, I would have preferred an offensive-minded coach, but you know, they just don't seem to want to lean that way. Okay, fine. Either way, it's a new person, new direction, you know, new ideas, hopefully, and we'll see how it goes. I'm just not loving the fact that they hired the coach with the GM, potentially, you know, because I don't even know, you know, some of these names, I don't even know who they are, not that I know every GM out there anyway, mm-hmm. although I believe Jacksonville just got rid of theirs. But yeah, I mean, look, all we can do now is just hope for, you know, something decent. I mean, I can't get excited over the fact that somebody is excited to come here to coach, because, I mean, let's remember, Robert Saleh was all gas, no brakes. You know, look how that turned out. So,
100%.
I mean, the press conferences don't mean anything to me anymore.
I agree. Nobody won a press conference in this town like Joe Judge. Nobody.
Right.
That was the most successful press conference we ever heard. I mean, we were, as a Giant fan, we were all, myself included, we were ready to run through a wall for the man. Like, that was, yeah. I mean, he was, it was an incredible press conference. Incredible. Doesn't mean anything. Totally agree. And everything that's said about Aaron Glenn, and this doesn't mean it's not true. Aaron Glenn might end up being a great head coach, and I think he's well-deserved of getting a head coaching job in the NFL, without question. It's a tough fill for me for the Jets, that's all. I would have loved to have someone with more experience, but that's done. No point in talking about that anymore. He's the guy, and I think he can be successful, and I want them to give him the best chance to being successful, which is why I want to give him Aaron Rodgers. But you're right. The same stuff that's being said about Aaron Glenn now was said about Robert Saleh. 100%. Everybody loved the hire. his emotion on the sidelines, his ability to coach the 49ers, his toughness, his everything. His physique, his just everything about him was it screamed, here we go. Let's get pumped. He's a leader of men. The exact same stuff. The only thing different is Aaron Glenn played in the league and Aaron Glenn played for the Jets. That's it. And that might make all the difference. I don't know. But that's the only difference. Robert Saleh did an incredible job as a defensive coordinator. Now, had a lot of talent, but did an incredible job. Again, I mean, Todd Bowles was someone who felt like it was he did such a good job for so many years that it was he was passed over for jobs in the past. He should have been a head coach already, was the thought around Todd Bowles. And look what he's done in his second go-around. Not that he's the greatest coach in the world, and I still have some issues with him sometimes with some of his decision-making, but, I mean, he's won how many divisions with Tampa Bay? So, it is what it is. And the press conference, yeah, it means absolutely nothing to me. That I agree with you. We're probably going to, I think he's going to do a great job at the press conference. I've heard him speak in these podcasts and I don't know if it was the Jets or someone just put out a video of like highlights of him coaching and playing. And I have no doubt he is going to tell you what you want to hear. And he is someone who's going to jump off the page as a leader. And I'm hoping that's true. And I don't see a reason to not think it's true, but we've seen leaders fail. It doesn't guarantee you being successful as a head coach, and especially in this market once the ball starts rolling in the opposite direction. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Morning, Chris.
Morning, how are you?
The Jets, I agree with you. They need more than a first-time head coach because they need someone that has experience on how to run a show. And Aaron Glenn, yeah, he's worthy of a head coaching job. He's done a good job wherever he's been. And then the GM, I would say the GM would be a good hire because he's been there for a while. But as far as coach, I don't know. Who should they bring in?
It doesn't matter now. As what coach? Offensive coordinator? Head coach doesn't matter anymore. Offensive coordinator, I don't know. I have no problem. I'm excited by the name. The most recent name is Nick Cayley, who's been with the Rams. I would take a chance on any coach. If I talk to Sean McVay, and I would imagine, because it sounds like the reports are that this is the coach that Aaron Glenn would like to bring here as the offensive coordinator. So if I had a legitimate talk with Sean McVay, who right now is the offensive coach in the league. There are several, but he's the most predominant, forward-thinking, you know, every coach that he's worked with, whether it's O'Connell or like, his coaching tree and his offense is parodied through the NFL more than any other offense. Parts of it are used around the league. He is the foremost authority at the moment on offensive football in the NFL. And if I had a conversation with Sean McVay and he told me, yeah, this Nick Cayley, he's smart. He gets it. He knows what we're doing here. He's done an incredible job for us as the passing coordinator. You'd be stupid not to hire him. That would excite me. I'd be more than happy to take that chance. If I'm going the route of first-time offensive coordinator, someone who's worked directly with Sean McVay is fine with me. So I'm okay with that hire. Now, I want to bring back Aaron Rodgers, and I would want Aaron Rodgers in the conversation on some level, but also I know it's not a long-term thing. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be able to deal with whoever they pick. But I would ask him how he envisions using Aaron Rodgers because I want to win this year and I want to win this year with Aaron Rodgers. But that would be a fine hire for me. More than Clint Kubiak, who's been someone who's been talked about. And you get the head coaching experience from the defensive coordinator in Steve Wilks. It's a reasonable enough plan. I'm okay with that. I think that makes as much sense as anything else you're going to do once you bring in Aaron Glenn. But, again, to me it's about the quarterback. And, again, we were just talking about it's about the quarterback for the Giants as well. And I was going to say before we got into some other things there, with the Giants, what I would like to see with the quarterback room is I still would bring in a veteran. They have some cap space. You take, even if it's Sanders at three, certainly if, I mean, listen, if they don't draft a quarterback in with the third pick, you absolutely have to bring in a veteran quarterback. Like, there's a thought, and I would think most Giant fans who are telling me, oh, you think so highly of them, you need to draft them, and then you're not going to play them week one. Yeah, I agree that they probably could use some seasoning, and I would love to see them sit for half a year to a year. I think that could be a very valuable thing for them. But the only problem, and so if you draft Sanders or Ward at three, there's definitely an argument to be made. They start year one and you bring in a veteran backup, but you don't bring in a veteran with real interest in starting him. Or you, and certainly if you take a quarterback, even if you take a quarterback in the second round or later, I'm absolutely bringing in a veteran quarterback to start. And because it'll probably be a project quarterback, like a Dart or something, and I'm definitely not starting him. But I would prefer to go to veteran route, even with Sanders and or Ward. And that's the tricky thing for the Giants. Because the question is, do they need to win? Is drafting Sanders and showing progress even while losing, and maybe even having an ugly season, but if Sanders or Ward show progress, the offense gets better as the year goes on, and you feel optimistic about the future and you don't want to mess with that, is that enough to keep his job for Shane and Dable, or do they need to win? Because the last thing I want to do is draft the quarterback and then fire them. That's the last thing I want to do. Last thing I want to do is draft the quarterback and then fire Dable. So the question is, even if they draft the quarterback, what level of winning do they have to do? And then, because to me, I would think there's two ways to think of it. There's, you bring in the best veteran quarterback you think can help develop the young kid for a time, as I think Jameis Winston would be like a case for that. You bring in Jameis Winston, he could throw the ball all over the place. Him and Malik Nabers would have monster numbers, but he might be unable to deliver himself from pick sixes, and you're not sure how much winning you're going to do, and you know it's an issue. But it's a veteran quarterback, been around the league, been in a ton of spots. Even though he gives the occasional hilarious quote, I do think he's shown standing up for teammates. He's shown the ability to lead on some level. That wouldn't be like the worst thing if you were going on the route of, I know halfway through the season I'm going to Sanders, bring in someone who is more of a veteran, you know, kind of role model on the field, at least, you know, and how to play the game and throw and learn from a little bit and get experiences from. Or you can go the route, for me, I don't think that Justin Fields is the craziest idea on top of drafting Sanders and Ward. Because what, like, Daniel Jones and his running ability is what got them to the playoffs, or what made Daniel Jones and Brian Dable work year one. So if I'm drafting Sanders and I bring in Fields and I give him the ability to have the season if he wins, like, if he's winning, I'm not messing with it. He's winning. And if it's, and even, and I don't care, because I need to find the quarterback and Fields is young enough. I don't care. Call me crazy. If they draft Shador Sanders third, they bring in Justin Fields, and Fields leads them to the playoffs and finishes third in the MVP voting and has some sort of crazy year, and him and Brian Dable just are a match made in heaven, I'm going to look to trade Sanders and keep Fields. So what? So what? I found my quarterback. Yeah, okay, I wasted the second pick. I don't care. I found my quarterback. I could have taken Abdul Carter and had the quarterback. I know, but I put all my eggs in the quarterback basket, and I got lucky to find one, and I'm not going to sit and cry over spilled milk that I didn't draft some other player. I found my quarterback. I'll trade Sanders or whatever, and I'll make it work. But I'll bring in Fields, hope he could coach turnovers out of him. He can get the same kind of production or winning that he got from Daniel Jones, go about having a good positive season, winning some games while, you know, working with Sanders or Ward and developing them. And then next year I move to Ward and Sanders while I won this year with a running quarterback like Brian Dable won with Daniel Jones. That sounds like a great idea to me. And this way I satisfy both beasts. I satisfy the win now crowd of John Mara and the Plain Flyers, and I satisfy my franchise moving forward by developing a young quarterback. It's the best. It's the best of both worlds. Hot ice. Some say ice is best. Others say heat. I melt the ice cubes. It's the best of both worlds. So I think that makes sense. And again, yeah, I love bringing in, I love the idea of drafting a quarterback and still bringing in a veteran quarterback that not only is just the Jameis Winstons of the world, and that's one way to go if you're looking for straight-up mentorship, which I could see, but what's, like, they have enough cap space. What if Sam Darnold did cost himself this much money? Like, is it the craziest thing to bring in a quarterback, the ilk and age of Sam Darnold or Justin Fields, and literally compete with the quarterback I just drafted? I know that probably sounds crazy. I don't care. I want to find the quarterback. I want to find the quarterback of the future. And I have enough draft. I have the draft pick, and I've got some money in cap space to go out and buy a free agent. Like, what's wrong with saying, all right, Sam Darnold's the quarterback this year, and then we'll probably transition to Shedeur Sanders, or we'll transition to Ward or whatever. And then if the Giants win 13 games and Sam Darnold's back to being an MVP and then plays well in the playoffs, all right, I found my quarterback that way. And sure, would a portion of the audience or fan base kick themselves and say, we could have got Hunter, or we could have got Abdul Carter, or we could have got an edge rusher, an offensive lineman, and then paid Sam, and we would have been in the same spot or better? Yeah, I guess. Sure. But that, you want to talk about good problems to have. Oh, I found my quarterback who played great, and Brian Daboll knows how to coach him, and we're a winning team now, and I've got my 27, 28-year-old quarterback, but I blew the second pick. Who cares? I mean, they've blown the second pick left and right. Even when they blew the second pick with Saquon Barkley. They blew a top pick with Andrew Thomas. Like, even though those guys are great, and I haven't helped them win a lick. There's a bunch of different options to go at the quarterback room if you still draft Sanders or Ward. And I'm just, it's cold outside. There's congestion pricing. I had to carve out a bar of soap to turn into a bobsled, and I was doing that last night at the science fair. What else do we got? Baseball's a month away from pitchers and catchers. What else do I have but to dream? And this morning I'm dreaming of Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers going to the playoffs for the Jets, and I'm dreaming of Tennessee saying they will take a generational talent and not take a quarterback, and that sets me up for still getting the quarterback at 3, and then I can move forward with the organization and the dream of Brian Daboll developing the young quarterback to success and changing the franchise and everybody being right and everything right with the world. That's my dream for this morning, and I pass it on to you. 888-808-1019. 2 hours down, one more left to go. McMonagle here with you till 5 a.m., 888-808-1019. Back with your phone calls and more. Maybe a little bit of baseball on the other side. It is Yankee Hot Stove. I do have some Yankee thoughts. And do we still talk about Pete Alonso? Because, there's some still negotiating with Toronto. Will that up the price? We saw the Santander contract, but hey, Toronto's still looking at Pete. Could that entice the Mets to up their offer to Pete Alonso? No!